Good morning. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to read the whole chapter, Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because of the breath of the Lord. Because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales, and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge and showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circles of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your presence, and thank you that we could come and spend some time with you in prayer and in hearing the word, in reading the word. And I pray that you would come and meet with us and come and speak to us this morning. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just want to ask you for your prayers for Pastor Sam. He's ill. That's why he was missing yesterday and today. So I don't know what's wrong with him, but he'll be okay. Don't look so worried. But please pray for him that he'll recover well and just that he'll be well rested this week. So yesterday I talked about Isaiah, Jeremiah, kind of the prophets and what I gained as I was reading through the prophets. And today I just wanted to focus on one specific chapter from the prophets to talk about what we can gain and what we can learn out of these verses. So we're going to start here in Isaiah 40. Again, Isaiah is filled with God's wrath for Israel. He's always talking about, you know, the sins of this land, the sins of this people, and God is talks a lot about the judgment that he's going to bring. But throughout Isaiah, God will talk about the judgment, but then he'll also turn it around and talk about the glorious promise of restoration that God wants to bring to this land. And so today we start off in verse 1, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." We see, as we talked about yesterday, we see the evidence of God's mercy here in this passage. God wants to bring his comfort to the people of Israel, and he speaks tenderly to them. And I just want to ask you, have you experienced his mercy in your own life? You know, the Bible tells us that it is the kindness of God that leads us into repentance, right? And it's when we experience the mercy of God and when we experience the kindness of God that brings us closer to him. Pastor Sam on Wednesday, during Bible study, talked about the difference between condemnation and conviction, and how condemnation from the enemy turns us away from God. It keeps us away from God because we're afraid to turn to him. But conviction brings us to him because his conviction always comes with his mercy and his willingness to forgive and his tenderness, and we turn to him when we experience that. And usually it's when we really mess up badly that we get to experience God's mercy. When we are in sin, when we mess up again and again, and we are, we disappoint God with something, and we habitually do it again and again, and we are quite broken and at the lowest of ourselves, that's when we get to experience God's mercy. Because he comes and he reveals his love to us and says, "It's okay, I love you just as you are, no matter what." I remember my grandfather is quite old, and he had just gotten a new car in Korea, and my dad was borrowing the car. So my dad was in Korea, he borrowed the car. It was a brand new car, and he was driving it, and he scratched it. I think it bumped into something or he scratched it pretty badly. So we're all concerned, you know. When my dad was telling me the story and when he told me that he had messed up the car, I was like, oh no, because my grandfather is not known to be the most gentle guy. He's a pastor, but he's known for being, I mean, when I was young, he was a scary man. You didn't want to mess with grandfather because he could really rebuke you, you know. He really brought it when he was upset. So we're all like, "Oh no, what happened?" But my dad continued to share, grandfather, I mean, I think he's had a change of heart as he has gotten older. You know, he basically said, "Don't worry about it, no problem." You know, like a car is there for you to drive, and if you scratch it or get into little accidents, not an issue. And I was really impressed. I was like, wow, grandfather has changed. But that's an evidence or an example of mercy. Like when we screw it up and we're like, oh no, we're going to get it. And it's a display of mercy. And God does it to us over and over again. And I hope that we will all experience this mercy, because it's this kind of mercy and the kindness of God that we experience that draws us to him. And then we go on. So this chapter is a promise to Israel that God's going to be with them, that God's going to restore them, and that God's going to bless them and do great things to them. So verse 3 to verse 5, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. It's like a metaphor of saying that God is going to come, and the valleys and the mountains being leveled, the rough grounds becoming plain. It's this metaphor, this idea of all the obstacles being removed, and God is going to come to this land. But what's interesting is that this is a messianic prophecy, right? Because we know from reading the Gospels that this is talking about John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus to come. And that's interesting, because when we talk about God's mercy and God's restoration, even revealed in this prophecy, the fulfillment of that comes through Jesus Christ. You know, and he is the ultimate example of God's mercy and God's comfort that he brings to his people. And so we go to verse 6, and from verse 6 to verse 10 is basically a long extended introduction to what Isaiah is about to say to the people. He's saying, what shall I cry out to the people? And all people are like grass, their faithfulness like flowers of the field. You know, the grass withers, flowers fall, and the people are like grass. But verse 8, but the word of God endures forever. And it's this word of God that we're about to hear if we read on through Isaiah. And then you bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice. And so the whole point is, what is the word of the Lord? What is the good news that is about to come? And it's kind of generating that interest. And the good news and the word of God that is going to come comes at the end of verse 9. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. And the whole good news is that God is here, and he's going to bring restoration. He's going to bring comfort. He's going to do glorious things in your land. And again, we see in verse 11, he says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. We see God's mercy. This is, again, a picture of God's mercy. He's tending his flock. He gently leads them, and he carries them close to his heart. He gathers the lambs in his arms. So, I want to ask you guys, have you experienced this kind of love of the Father that he wants to bestow on us? You know, this embracing of God, God embracing us in his arms. There's a song that we sing sometimes at church. It's called Arms of the Father, and it's a beautiful song. And the chorus goes like this. It says, I fear nothing at all when I'm safe in the arms of my Father, and if ever I fall, I take comfort in knowing that you are there. And that is what happens when we rest in the arms of the Father. And for me, that was so key when I was in Cambodia, because that was a challenging time for me. And I would always go back to this image of God just carrying me in his arms and knowing that, you know what, even if I mess up, even if I fall, I take comfort in knowing that God is there, that he is with me and he's carrying me. And again, we need to experience this. This is something that God wants to give to his children, this experience of God's love. It is not just something that we know about cognitively, but it's something that we can experience. And we can feel. God's affection is meant for us to feel. And if you go to verse 12, verse 12 through verse 14 is talking about the might of God. Again, he's a powerful God, right? He says, who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? So this is talking about the power of God and the might of God, which we talked about kind of yesterday. But I want to ask you guys, what are you going through in this time now that is causing you to worry and that is causing you to be stressed out and that is weighing you down? And I want to encourage you to surrender it up to the Lord, who has all power and all might, as this verse shows us. It's, you know, it just, it when I read that, it just comforts me, knowing that the God who is holding me in his arms is not just any God, you know, but he has all power, all authority over heaven and earth. And so I can trust him and I can surrender and I can be at rest knowing that he is this powerful God. And verse 15 through 17, he compares and he talks about the nations. Isaiah is talking about the nations and says, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They're regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. You know, verse 17, before him all the nations are as nothing. They're regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. And then verse 18 through 20, he talks about the idols, right? And he says, the idols are nothing. People make them using wood and iron and all these things, and it's man-made idols. And why does Isaiah talk about this? It's because the people of Israel kept going back to these things. The people of Israel kept going back to foreign nations to give them help and to strengthen them. And they kept going back to idol worship and turning away from God. And that's why God reminds them here and says, I am this powerful God, and these nations are as nothing, and these idols are as nothing. And it's a reminder and saying, why do you keep turning back to these things when I am your God? And it's a challenge for us to think about and say, you know, what are the things that we keep turning to for our strength and for our comfort and for our joy, for our satisfaction? What are the idols that we turn to, the comforts that we, turn to other than God, that we easily give our hearts to? And let's return, you know, let's, because those things are nothing compared to the power of God, compared to what God wants to do, and compared to what God has for us, what these things offer us, money or success or whatever it may be, friendships, relationships, is nothing compared to what God gives us. And then he goes on again to talk about the might of God. And God is saying, don't turn to anything else. Don't turn to these other things. And in Isaiah chapter 41, the next chapter in verse 10, he says this, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in the New American Standard Version, it says, instead of saying, do not be dismayed, it says, do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God. And I love that passage because so often I find myself anxiously looking about me when I'm going through a difficult time because God's presence is not as immediate. It's not as tangible as maybe a friend's advice or maybe money that is saved up in the bank account anything else that could be, right, that we turn to so easily. But I find myself so anxiously looking about me when I'm going through a tough time, when I'm faced with a challenge, when I'm faced with a step of faith that I need to take. I anxiously look about and I'm just trying to grab onto something that's going to give me strength, that's going to give me hope, that's going to help me do this. Yet God is saying, don't do that. Don't be afraid, for I am your God. Surely I will help you and I will strengthen you. And so that's what I want to encourage us with. Whatever we're going through at this time, this morning, let's not anxiously look about us turning to other things, but let's put our focus on him and let's look to God, because he is our help and he is all powerful, almighty, yet merciful and loving, and he holds us in his loving arms. And the last thing is the famous passage, right, about the everlasting God who does not grow tired, who does not grow weary, and he gives strength to the weak. He increases the power of the weak. Again, this is comforting words from God to his people Israel, reassuring them that he will be with them. And it's a glorious promise. But there is one condition. In verse 31, it says, but those who hope in the Lord. Again, it's saying, don't hope in these other things. But those that hope in the Lord, if you put your hope in the Lord, and if you look to your God and turn away from these nations, turn away from these idols, Then you will renew your strength, and you will soar on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint. And I want to say to us that you and I, we were all created to soar on wings like eagles. We're created to run and walk and not grow faint. And I remember being in India. I was on outreach in India after my DTS lecture phase. And India, if you've been to India, is a crazy place. Wild, just chaotic, everywhere, crowded, noisy, smelly, you know, everything. And on certain days, we had free time, and we were staying at the YWCA in Calcutta. And we would sit by the balcony, and we would look out. And it was the most peaceful time. Just because India was so crazy, just being able to sit there and look out into the sky, it was the most peaceful time. And once in a while, we would have these birds, and I'm sure they weren't eagles, but they look like eagles. They spread their wings and they soar. You know, they're not flapping their wings. They're majestic. You know, they're just gliding through the air. And I look at that and I'm reminded of this verse, you know, and I go, wow, that is amazing. And that is what God is calling us to do. That's how God calls us to operate, gliding, and it's majestic, and they're soaring through the air. And you and I, we're called to the kind of living that's like that. You know, we're gliding and soaring through the air, and it's majestic. And the sad thing is, so often we turn away from God, and we give ourselves to all these other things, and we put our hope in all these other things, and we don't live up to this glorious promise that God has for us, of soaring on wings like eagle and running and not growing tired and walking and not growing faint. Instead, we're broken and we're tired and we're weary and we're, crawling because we give ourselves to all these other things. And I just want to encourage us today. Let's turn to God. Let's put our hope in the Lord, and let's experience this this promise of God that we will have renewed strength, that we would soar on wings like eagles, that we will run and not grow weary, we will walk and not be faint. So this just a quick study of Isaiah 40. So let's turn to the Lord in this time of worship. If Yvain can come up and lead us in a song, let's just close our eyes and go before the Lord in this time.
Again at your throne, Where would I be without you? Here in my life, here in my life. You have said that all the heavens sing for joy. Everyone who finds the way to freedom, truth of Jesus, born from death into his life. And I remember how you saw me through the eyes of your grace. Though the cause was your beloved for me, still you made a way. You are my freedom, Jesus, you're the reason I'm kneeling again your throne. Where would I be without you? Here in my life, here in my life. You are my freedom, Jesus, you're the reason I'm kneeling again at your throne.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us, God. And thank you for your just your grace and your love for us each and every day. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our group prayer focus, and let's lift up our brothers and sisters that are going through a tough time. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that they will be able to hope in the Lord, that they will be able to turn from looking anxiously about them and turn to God and look to God, and that God would come and bring his strength and bring his healing, his restoration. So let's pray for our community together. Go to slide number 2. Let's pray for others that are with illness and that need to be saved. Let's pray for them, and let's stand with our brothers and sisters at church that have been interceding for their parents, their family members to be saved. Let's pray and let's join them, that God will bring his salvation, and let's pray for other infirmities. Turn to the third slide. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters looking for a job. Let's pray for God's breakthrough, God's favor upon them. Let's pray together. Let's go to our Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for the local ministries that we are supporting or we have a relationship with. You know, let's pray for just the churches here that they will rise up and that God will move powerfully through them. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong and the different YWAM ministries mentioned there. Let's pray for face-to-face, Zengshan College Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity. Let's just cover them and pray that God will lead them and be with the leaders of these ministries. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the SP ministries. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound and video AV team, the welcoming and hospitality team, and the barista ministry. Let's pray that each of these ministries will be led by the Holy Spirit and that the anointing of God will be upon each of the ministries. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the SP weekend activities. There's IP prayer meeting tonight, and EG is going on tonight, and also tomorrow there's EG, and there is worship practice. And on Sunday we have the two services, and we also have youth group in the morning and Sunday school in the morning. So let's pray for that. And let's also pray for the retreat that is coming up. So let's pray for all of that. And let's really pray for our church. Let's pray that when people come, that transformation would happen in this place, that people will encounter God. We want to be a church where people can encounter God. Let's pray that that will happen. So let's go before the Lord and cover our weekend activities. Thank you, Father. We just want to thank you, and we want to give you our lives, God. I just pray for our church, God, that SP would be a church where people can encounter you. God, we don't want to just have all the formalities and the appearance of, you know, being a church, God. But Lord, we want to have the substance, God, and we want to have the presence of God. We know that you're here, but we help us to really cultivate a heart that welcomes your presence, God. That prepares itself to meet with you, Lord. I just pray, God, that we would be a church that is hungry for you, God, that thirsts for you, that is desperate for you, God, and that turns to you, God, in every step of the way, Lord. So we cover our church, Lord, and be with us this weekend, God. We pray for a powerful time of worship and hearing your word and praying for one another, God, and encountering you, Lord, that it will bring life change and transformation and healing to many people. And we pray that for the retreat as well, God, that it will be an amazing time of meeting with you, God. Lord, that we would look past all of our obstacles, God, that get in the way, God, and things that might hinder us from going all out, and that we would be able to really just go for it, God. Really open up our hearts and go all out, and that you would come and meet us in a powerful way. So thank you, Lord. Prepare us, God, for the retreat, and just give you this time. Lord, I pray for each and every person, that you would bless them with your peace and your comfort, your strength today. Help us to bring you joy in some way today, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.